Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the ones in need. For every thirst and every hunger, you are everything. Blessed are the worn and weary. Blessed are the ones who grieve. In every moment unexpected, you are everything. To seek you is to find you, and to know you is to want you, and I want nothing more than you. To see you is to love you, and I can't believe I get to, and I want nothing more than you. Blessed is the mercy giver. Blessed is the way of peace. I will trust your heart and hand. You are everything. Yes, I will trust your heart and hand. You are everything. To seek you is to find you, and to know you is to want you, and I want nothing more than you. To see take this world, give me Jesus. Take this life, give me yours. In every season, you are the blessing, Jesus. You are my reward. Take this world and give
Our scripture today comes from the 6th chapter of Luke, verses 17 through 26. Jesus came down with them and stood at a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the east coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what the ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I don't know if you're like me, but I've been spending a lot of time watching the Winter Olympics. Many of the sports are basically hurling yourself down a mountain, whether it's on skis or snowboards or bobsleds or whatever. But what I love most is the shots where they shoot over the shoulder of the skier that's about to leave the chute. And you look down the mountainside and you see that vista laid out before you. I think how gorgeous that is and how there's no way in the world they'd get me out of the gate, because I would not go down there. Mountains are beautiful. I love visiting them, but I can honestly say I wouldn't want to live in the mountains. One, I'm a runner. Mountains and runners don't coexist for very long. It's a very difficult life. But the other thing is I like wide open spaces. If you've ever been to Montana, if you've ever been to the Sedona area of Arizona and you see the plateaus that seem to go on forever, there's something even more majestic for me in those wide open plains. The gospel writers of Matthew and Luke have a difference of opinion on whether it was a Sermon on a Mount or a Sermon on a Plain. And what's intriguing to me is I've read the commentaries and let the experts weigh in and talk about what they want to do. And what they do is they try to explain away the differences. Well, one's on a plain and one's on a mountain. The crowd seems to come from two different sets of cities. The Beatitudes don't match up. There seem to be more in Matthew and less in Luke. And it seems like the game is, can you explain away all the things that make them seem different? I flip to a different place and it says, or perhaps we should just embrace the differences. And I love the way it was laid out. It says, perhaps they're similar because Jesus had a similar message everywhere he went. Maybe the healings weren't the same because he healed two different people. It's not like he only healed in one location, is it? He seemed to heal everywhere he went. Do you think there was a different emphasis because it was a different crowd and the people that he needed to reach needed to hear different things? Well, there's a wonderful experience I had. I went to Duke Divinity School and studied preaching with Dr. Richard Lisher. Dr. Lisher went to college up in Boston with this guy named Martin Luther King Jr. And as he ended his career, he wrote a book called The Preacher King. And he talked about how Martin Luther King Jr. went about doing his preaching and what it is that he practiced as he went along. And one of the interesting things that you read in the book is the I Have a Dream speech. Is a sermon he preached a bunch of times. And you can imagine that when he's in Memphis, Tennessee, or Birmingham, Alabama, speaking to the poor people in a black church in the South, he spoke slightly differently than he did when he was speaking to his professors and colleagues at Boston University. He would go from, he don't want you looking at how they look, to, one day we will know not by the color of our skin, by the content of our character. You see, Martin Luther King Jr. was a traveling evangelist, preacher, similar to what Jesus was doing. And he knew that people needed to hear the message in different ways in order to be reached. And I think that speaks to why it's similar but not the same. I'm kind of struck by the fact that when Matthew has his Sermon on the Mount, it is high and lofty images of blessed are the poor in spirit and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But when we get to Luke's Beatitudes, they're kind of down to earth and gritty. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. It's almost as if the message meets the vista. So, as they argue, which is right, Matthew or Luke? I think you have to avoid going down a rabbit hole, because just because they're different doesn't mean there isn't an underlying truth in both of them. One of my heroes is a guy by the name of Clarence Jordan. Most of you probably don't know who he is. But he founded a Christian Koinonia community in Americus, Georgia. And was instrumental in starting something called Habitat for Humanity. But he also wrote a paraphrase of the New Testament called the Cotton Patch Gospels. He wrote it in such a way that children from the South living in rural Georgia where he was from would read it, but understand that he had a PhD in New Testament Greek from Candler Seminary in Atlanta. As Jordan weighed in on this Matthew versus Luke renditions of the Beatitudes, he said, if you have enough money, you probably say spiritual poverty. If you got no money, you probably say physical poverty. Those with money will look to Matthew. Those who are poor will thank God for Luke. But as for who are right, chances are neither one. For it is the attitude of self-praise and self-justification and self-satisfaction that robs men of the sense of need for the kingdom of God and his blessings. Separation comes from you. When you think you don't need God, the blessings aren't present. If someone says, I don't need to be poor in things, I'm poor in spirit. Or if someone says, I don't need to be poor in spirit, I've got nothing, I'm poor in things. There's still focused on the self. They're not looking at the need that they have for Jesus. And if you say, I don't need, whatever follows that, that cry stops you from repenting, stops you from reaching out and asking God to bless you. I think we need to listen to both to find out where it is in our life is our need. Where is it? One of the things that sets the sermon in the plain apart is Jesus includes this message of woe. And he says, woe to you who are rich, the satisfied, the carefree, the wild, highly regarded. Woe to you. Again, it's not because these things are bad to have. It's because it tends to turn us away from God and toward the things that we lift up. One of the things that sets the United States apart is the humility of our founders. Many people from foreign countries find it amazing that on every piece of currency, every piece of money that the U.S. mints, it says, "In God we trust." And the founders wanted to make it very clear that it was not on the wealth and the power of the U.S. economy that would make us great, but are focusing on God and focusing on the fact that we need Him all the time. The contradiction between the mountain and the plain immediately brought to mind something different for me. I am a Christmas person. I'm a junkie. I start playing it in November before Thanksgiving. I'm still playing Christmas songs into January after Epiphany is left. And when I heard the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain, I heard, every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain shall be made low, and even the rough ground shall become a plain. The words coming from the prophet Isaiah and ringing in my ears from Handel's Messiah. Preparing a way for the Lord. What I do like about the Sermon on the Plain is it meant that everybody was on the same level, looking each other right in the eye. And I think God lays this out in Isaiah that we're supposed to make straight a highway for our God and make everything level, because that's where He wants the church to be. He wants people to come to that place where there are none who are above or below. Where there is no level place, He wants us to create it. And invite everybody who feels a need for God to turn to Him. For those who are self-sufficient, He calls us to humility and service. To those who are hungry, He wants us to offer an opportunity to be fed. So I'm looking at this and I pull out our announcement page and, well, is it more important that we have a food pantry or is it more important that we have a Bible study? Depends on what you're hungry for, doesn't it? It depends on what it is that we need. If Arise is going to be that level place where people can come to find God, we have to offer the things that meet the needs that are laid out here. Whether you're poor or poor in spirit, whether you're hungry or whether you hunger and thirst for righteousness, Arise has to be the place where you can find what blesses you in God's eyes. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, we're ashamed to admit that sometimes what most separates us from God is us. Not talking about what it is that we need, not talking about what it is that we lack. Because in not admitting what we need, we don't turn to you. Help us turn to you that we might be blessed. Help us to understand that no matter what the emptiness in us is, you seek to fill it and restore us to the way you intended us to be from the beginning. That's what we really long for. May it be so. Amen.